Rachel, good morning.
Morning, Tess. Thanks for having me on the show.
Thanks for joining us. Now, first off, why do you think there's still a gender gap in the scientific field?
Well, interestingly, if you look at the statistics, about equal amount of women and men go into science at an undergraduate level, but as you increase the seniority through the ranks of going from PhD to associate professors, you get what's called a scissor graph, where all of a sudden you get an increase in men and a significant reduction in women. And there's a lot of reasons that people think this might be the case. And that's part of what the UN is trying to address with their International Day of Women and Girls in Sciences. And it's not just to encourage women to join into the sciences, it's to retain them. Because one of the biggest problems that is happening is that they're being trained up, we're spending money on training them in PhDs, we're putting time and effort into them, and then we're losing that expertise at around the time when they start to really contribute to the field.
And now, regarding the actual day itself of Women and Girls in Science, what did this day actually involve?
Well, it's the first one, so what they did this year was really just profile a lot of women scientists, and I was very fortunate myself to be profiled. And I guess that was really to highlight the role of women in science, but also to highlight the different types of scientific endeavours that are available to women. So, for example, in a profile written about myself and four other women scientists, they covered a woman who's looking at dugongs in the wild. They looked at women who are working in physics. Myself, I work in biomedical science. And it's just to demonstrate that there are lots of women out there, and they're doing all sorts of really interesting things. And also I think it's important to do that to highlight that there are women who are not just successful but are available to be mentors for younger women scientists, because if we can encourage and help through those younger sort of undergraduate level scientists get over some of these hurdles, if you like, that result in women not being in senior positions, that could really help retain this expertise. And we also know from studies that companies are more productive and make more money if they have a more better gender balance. And one of the problems with keeping women around is a thing called unconscious bias, which has been studied extensively. And it shows that, for example, on a grants panel, so people that are handing out money for research, if they see the name of a woman on a grant, they're less likely to award that funding than if it's a man. And so there are endeavours in place now to try and train people to stop having this unconscious bias to favour men over women. And some of the other problems, of course, you may have heard about. Everyday sexism is quite a huge problem in the scientific field. And there's been some kind of funny instances of that over the last 12 months where, for example, IBM started a campaign called Hack a Hairdryer, where they were trying to encourage women into science by saying, well, girls, you know, you like pretty things and hair and shopping and clothes, so let's all use our scientific mind to hack a hairdryer. And this backfired incredibly badly on social media, resulting in lots of women writing tweets to them saying, well, actually, I'd love to hack a hairdryer, but I'm pretty busy solving cancer right now.
That is so a good response.
Women need to speak up about this kind of thing and make it clear that it's not cool.
Yeah, no, that sounds brilliant. So I suppose it might be a little bit early to tell, but would you call this day a success?
Look, I think so, because I think it's got a lot of people talking for a start. So I wrote a piece for The Conversation, which I think is why you contacted me, and that's fantastic. And the comments on that piece have been a lot of men getting their noses out of joint, basically, which often happens in these kind of situations. But also it's resulted in male colleagues speaking up. And I think this is really important, and I'm really proud of my male colleagues for doing that, standing up and saying, well, you know what? There is a gender imbalance in science at the higher levels. And the reason it's there is partly because of men. And so we are the ones that need to address it. And there was a fantastic article written for the ABC by my colleague, Darren Saunders, saying just that. And I think that's really fantastic, because we need to talk about these issues, and men need to help us deal with it, because they are part of the problem here.
And just finally, Rachel, is there any further action taking place in order to reduce the gender gap in the scientific field and to encourage women to pursue a career in science?
there is a lot, and I'm really encouraged by it. There is a the National Health and Medical Research Council, who is the government, the major government funder for biomedical science in this country. They are now linking gender equality to grants. So if universities don't sign up to these gender equity equality programs and start instigating change, they won't give you money. There's also another program that's being introduced from the UK called SAGE, and that is the Science in Australia Gender Equity Trial. And there's currently 32 medical research institutes or universities who are starting to trial this, and this is addressing the loss of many scientists. Because we know, and the Australian Academy of Science tells us this, that it's just a significant waste of expertise, talent and investment. And when science also is losing its funding hand over fist, I mean, we're all hearing about the CSIRO losing money and losing departments and staff. We also need to raise our profile as scientists so that the public knows what we're doing. So many of us are happy to beaver away in our labs and do our work, and that's fine. And if you don't want to talk about science, you don't want to communicate science, that's okay. But the rest of us who want to do it need to, because these kind of days raise our profile for our own colleagues, but also for the public. And it's really important that the public knows what we're doing, because in many cases we're doing it with their money. It's often taxpayers' money, and they have a right to know what we're up to.
Well, Rachel, it does sound like a really, really important issue. Thank you so much for joining us on The Daily this morning.
Thanks very much, Tess.